Hey, man, you told me it was going to work. Anyways, could y'all hear that whole thing back there? Okay, just making sure. Didn't want to have to start over. But really, you might be here tonight, and you might be here because you want to walk in, and you want people to see you physically walk into the church building, sit in your seat, sing a couple songs, sing that God, he can move mountains, he's mighty to save, and then listen to a lesson, nod your head a couple times, and then walk out and not apply any of it to our lives. And you might be here tonight because you're actually struggling with something. You have nowhere else to turn. You don't know what to do. Maybe you're feeling guilty about something. Maybe you're here tonight and you're just saying, man, none of those things apply to me. I'm actually here. I'm here to worship God. And if you're that person, I want to say, that's awesome. That is great. But I want to challenge you as well to dig deep, to come here to renew yourself each and every time. Before we get started on our lesson tonight, I'm going to go to God in prayer. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that God has set our hearts on eternity. I want to pray tonight that God sets our hearts on Him, that He sets our hearts on eternity, that we can see past this room and learn about who God is in a different way and learn about a different name. Let's pray. God, we thank You so much for all that You've done in our lives. Lord, as we move into our lesson tonight, we ask that You help us to focus. No matter why we came here tonight, we ask that You help us to set our hearts on You and set our hearts on eternity. But we ask that You help us to apply things tonight to our lives. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right, so here at Henderson, we've been going through the series of More Than a Name. I think that's one of my slides here. Okay. Been going through the series of More Than a Name. And there it is. We've been going through the series, and we've been talking about the different names of God. And before we talk about God, the name we're going to talk about tonight, which is Alpha and Omega, I want to ask you something. I want to talk a little bit about the meaning of names. Who in here knows the meaning of their name? Raise your hand. All right, a few less than I expected. So I have a confession to make. I know it's a little early in the lesson to be making these confessions. This one's kind of a big deal. And I really want to apologize to people who thought they knew me, but my real name isn't actually Nolan. I know, big deal, huge shocker. My name's Russell, and it's kind of lame. But I went and I set out to find out what Russell actually means. And I found three words, Little Red Fox. And so I had three thoughts when I found out that my name meant Little Red Fox. I said, one, not only is Russell kind of sound lame, but Little Red Fox makes it even lamer. Number two is great. I'm the little red version of an animal that nobody even knows what it says. And three, yeah, my name might mean that, but is that really who I am? In fact, Little Red Fox has nothing to do with me, with Russell, Nolan, Huber. It has nothing to do with who I am. The only thing that it applies to my life is that I used to think that the song was catchy until I found out that foxes actually do make a high-pitched bark. Sorry to ruin that for you, people. But I think we do this to God. I think just as I'm not just Russell, Nolan, Huber, we do this to God. We say, God is just these names, just these hundreds of names that we see in the Bible, when He is so much more than that. We forget sometimes that God is huge. He is so big. He can do so much in our lives. And just like we just sang, He can move mountains. And we sing it, but do we believe it? Do we believe that He is more than a name? Tonight, as we go into our topic of God being the Alpha and Omega, I want us to look at Revelations 22:13. Oh, hang on. Before we do that, I want I'm not going to give us a science lesson, and this is going to be real brief, but I want us to think about an atom. And I know that if you don't know what an atom is, you probably shouldn't be at the college service at Henderson, but I want us to think about it. An atom is the smallest thing that can support life, okay? There, and God made those atoms. We're pretty big, right? Some of us are bigger than others, but we're pretty big. Those atoms make up our body. And then guess what? God made us. And then God made the earth. And guess what? There's 7 billion of us on earth. And then the 7 billion of us on earth, there's more room for us. There's more room for more people. And God made the earth. And then our sun, our earth can fit into our sun more than 1 million times. And God made that sun. And that's just our solar system. There's so much more out there. The universe is so much bigger than that. And guess what? God created all of that too. Guys, He is so much more than a name. Revelations 22:13 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I don't know about you, but if my parents ever said something 3 times in a row, they were holding it up on a billboard, they were saying, here it is, listen, don't miss this. God is doing that right here. He's saying, listen, I want you to see this. I'm saying the same thing. I'm saying it in 3 different ways. Don't miss it. I'm the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Here it is. Do not miss it. Not only is God the beginning and the end, but He's the middle as well. Revelation 1:8 says, I'm the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is still to come, the Almighty. Our God is everything. So how does this apply to our lives? The next question we need to ask ourselves is this. When is our beginning? I know some of you might be sitting out there thinking, my beginning is when my mommy and daddy gave each other a special hug. And if you weren't thinking about that, I really apologize for putting that in your head. But I really want us to focus on when our beginning is as people. When is your beginning as a person? I want us to look at, if you have your Bibles, turn in them to John chapter 19. I don't think there's a more appropriate place for us to look for Jesus's, for our beginning than at the end of Jesus' life. Yeah, He says He's the Alpha and Omega. Maybe we should look at the end of His life for our beginning. John 19, verse 30. Jesus says 3 words in this verse. It is finished. When He says those words, it means that all the prophecies, all the things that were supposed to happen, happened, and Jesus has done the deed that He came here to do. He wiped away our sin. Our sin is over. And guess what? Without that, we have no beginning. We can't start a life with God without Jesus wiping away our sins, without Him being the perfect sacrifice for us. That is our beginning. How appropriate. Our beginning is at the end of Jesus' life. So how does this apply to our lives? I think that we have to roll back into the Old Testament a little bit for this one. Exodus chapter 20, you know what it is. It's when God is giving Moses the Ten Commandments. And these Ten Commandments that He wanted His people to abide by no matter what in every situation. And this one, I believe, especially still applies to us today. Exodus 20, verse 3, God tells Moses to write this in the Ten Commandments, or God writes this on the Ten Commandments. He says, you shall have no other gods before me. How often do we love something in the world more than we love God? How often do we put things ahead of God when we should be putting God ahead of other things? In order for us to act on Jesus being our beginning, we have to make Him the beginning. We have to let Him be the Alpha and Omega of our lives. Nothing else to it. In order for Jesus to be our beginning, We have to let Him be the beginning of every aspect of our lives, of every aspect of Nolan Huber's words, of every aspect, every one of Nolan Huber's decisions, everything. First Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." He has caused us to be born again. Guys, God has given us a beginning, a new beginning. He's allowed us to be born again through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And how do we act on it? We allow Him to be the beginning of every aspect of our lives. Now the verse says that He is the Alpha and Omega. So we've talked a lot about the beginning. So what does the end look like? What does the end look like for us? We've established that our beginning comes from Jesus' end. And in order to act on that, we have to make Him the beginning of every aspect of our lives, to put nothing of this world before Him. When we allow Jesus to be our beginning, our end results will be hearing the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Think about it. When we allow Jesus, truly allow Him to cover every aspect of our life, to be the beginning, to be the Alpha of our lives, then we will eventually, in the end, hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And that is so exciting to me. That is so exciting. There's nothing in this world that I would want more than to hear those words. And yet, I still mess up. And I still don't put God as the beginning of our lives. But how different will our lives look if we allow Him to actually be the Alpha and Omega of our lives? When we allow God, when we allow Jesus to be our beginning, to be our Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end of our lives look completely different. You know, sometimes I feel like we hold back pieces of our lives. We say, "All right, God, You can have this. You can have this. But hey, I'm going to hold on to this sin for dear life because I enjoy it." Hey, I've been there. I'm there too. I'm a lover of sin and I can't help it. But we need to love God more than we love this sin. John 15:15 says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in Me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from Me, you can do nothing." If we do not allow Jesus to be the beginning of our lives, then apart from Him, we can do nothing. And I know you might be sitting there saying, "Yeah, but we really can. We can really do whatever we want if we don't allow Him to be the beginning of our lives." In the end, none of it matters unless you have allowed Jesus to be the beginning and the end of your life. So when is our end? Our end, like we already talked about, is when Jesus is standing there in the end saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And that makes me so excited to hear. I'm really blessed. I'm really blessed to be at this school. I'm blessed to have some awesome friends here. I'm blessed to have some awesome leaders in my life, awesome spiritual leaders. I'm so blessed. One of the things that I'm most thankful for is my teammates. And some of them helped me before the lesson tonight. But I'm so thankful for them. And one thing that I'm most thankful for about my teammates is that we study the Bible together. Not only do we go to war together on the baseball field, but we get to study the Bible together. And Monday night, Cam Hogue, if you guys don't know Cam Hogue, I would encourage you to get to know him. He's an awesome guy, but he's leading our Bible study. And he said something so simple, but so profound. We were talking about leading a Spirit-filled life. And he said, we cannot truly lead a Spirit-filled life until we surrender everything. And I think this really applies to us in our lesson tonight. We cannot truly lead our lives right. We cannot truly say that Jesus, that our God, is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, who was, who is, and who is to come. We can't say that He's that in our lives until we surrender everything. And unfortunately, I'm guilty of holding back those pieces in my life. I'm guilty of saying, all right, God, you can have this sin. You know, I didn't really like it that much. You can have this. I'll give you my time. I'll study. But you know what? I want to keep some of that time for myself to do whatever I want. We cannot truly say that God is the Alpha and the Omega of our lives until we surrender everything. Maybe you're out there tonight and you've surrendered your life before. And slowly but surely you started taking back pieces. I encourage you to find somebody, find a friend, talk to them, pray with them, or come forward and let somebody from the church pray for you, pray with you. Maybe you're somebody who, like me, a lot of times gives almost everything, but holds fast to something, one addictive sin. I encourage you to let that go. Talk to somebody, pray to God, come forward, let us pray with you. Maybe you're somebody who has never surrendered anything to God. And you've said that, hey, I want this. This is my life. I want it all. I don't want to surrender any of it to anybody. I've been there too. I have. But I can honestly say that my life is so much better. And I still have so far to go. But I can honestly say that my life is so much better once I made the decision to surrender to God. If you have any needs, please come as we stand and sing.